Afternoon. Welcome to the Sunday afternoon service of the Grace Baptist Church. I don't like this not being able to meet together. But hopefully we won't need to a whole lot longer. And I'm sure the Lord knows all about that as well. Churches were meant to assemble together as the body of Christ, poking and prodding one another unto faithfulness in the Lord. And we need that poking and prodding, that encouraging along the way. Turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter 4. And we're looking at verse 13. I've had two messages from this verse. He said, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith." Message number one. Unity of the faith. Till we all come in the knowledge of the Son of God. Message number two. Message number three, today, we'll be dealing with till we all come unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come unto a perfect man. Church membership is so important. It is important in that it endeavors to encourage us coming along unto a perfect man. And that is why that it is so important. When a man is saved, he is to be baptized, which is the door unto the Lord's church in a particular locality in the area in which he resides. You see, not everyone sees the importance of church membership. There are many, and I've known of several down through the years, that have professed salvation, but then they have no desire to be baptized and be a part of the church. where they made their profession of faith. They may continue to come to the worship services, but they have no desire to be a part of that body. They have no desire to perform the first acts of obedience in identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And the body, this is the body of Christ. He's the head. Be later on in some messages that we'll be preaching again concerning the head. And this is the body of Christ, and a true child of God should desire to want to be a part of the body of Christ. I mean, that's the one whom they're professing faith in. They're professing, at one time I didn't like him, I didn't love him, but now I love him. He saved my soul. Why would you not want to be a part of his body? And so, Jesus commanded his church in the book of Matthew, in chapter 28. Yes, at least the members of Grace Baptist Church know this passage of Scripture well. But the book of Matthew in chapter 28, he instructed his church, he said, "Go ye therefore," because he had all authority, and he's instructing his church, the church at Jerusalem. Get more specific, the 12 apostles, or the 11 apostles. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That is, show them the way to salvation. Show them the way of salvation. Teach them the way. Instruct them in the way of salvation. Jesus Christ is the way. And those who are saved, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Listen, he said it was important. He said, upon salvation, you baptize them. That's why we find John the Baptist coming in the third chapter of the book of Matthew and preaching repentance. And those that repented of their sins, and they were baptized, confessing their sins. And those who had not heard the preaching of repentance and had not repented of their sins came and, "Well, I want to be baptized too, because it seems to be a popular thing to do." And he said, "Who hath warned you to flee of the wrath to come? I've not preached to you. You've not been here and listening to the preaching of the word. I'm going to baptize you. You're not professing salvation in Jesus Christ." In the book of Mark, Mark says it a little bit differently than what Matthew said it. In Mark 16 and verse 16, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, just to show you here that he's not saying that baptism has any part in their salvation other than to save their life. He says, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." He that believeth not, not he that believeth not and is not baptized, shall be damned. You see, if he'd have said that, then you might think that baptism might play a part somehow in salvation, which it doesn't. The prerequisite was belief. And upon belief, upon salvation, upon repentance of your sins, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and baptism. That just immediately follows. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And he instructed his church, those that are saved, to baptize them and to carry on the commission. Once they're saved, they're baptized, members of the church, then the church has a further obligation to teach them the doctrine of Christ, the whole doctrine of Christ, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Turn with me to the book of Acts. And so we find John the Baptist came preaching repentance. He baptized those that were saved. Jesus came on the scene preaching baptism. 6 months later, preaching baptism, or preaching repentance. And those that were had repented of their sins were baptized. His disciples were baptizing. We find that taking place in John chapter 4. But turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And so we find Peter, after that Christ had died on the cross, had been buried, had resurrected again, and after his ascension, he left this commission to him after his resurrection, before he ascended. And after his ascension, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and endued the church with power, Peter stood up and preached. And these men said, "What shall we do?" In verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, because your sins have been remitted. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He said, repent, and because your sins have been remitted, be baptized. Upon repentance of your sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are remitted, your sins are forgiven, they're removed, they're no longer in that account. Because of that, go and be baptized. And they that gladly received his word, they that repented of their sins and had faith in him, were baptized. They had repented of their sins. They had heard the preached word, repented of their sins, and had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and were baptized. They became church members. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which was the doctrine of Christ. The apostles got their doctrine right from Christ, firsthand from the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. And this continued on. Even with Philip the evangelist. Acts chapter 8, verse 36, and we know this account well. The account of Philip joining himself to the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading in the book of Isaiah in chapter 53. And in verse 36 it says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" That was a natural response of one who's been saved. Natural response. No questions asked. I'm saved. I want to identify with the Lord and his body. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized." He didn't say, if you believe, then you got to be baptized to be complete salvation here. No, he said, if you believe, then you can be baptized.
Salvation is prerequisite for church membership. Salvation is prerequisite for baptism. Amen. There should be no baptizing apart from repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou believest with all thine heart, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He demonstrated his faith. I mean, you can't believe that without faith. You just can't. You might give an assent to it with the head, knowledge, like you'd give assent to the fact that Abraham Lincoln and George Washington were, well, maybe arguably, great presidents. At least the first and 16th president of the United States of America. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, let me tell you something. They didn't go down into a glass of water. Amen. A glass of water that was set there for pouring on the eunuch's head, they didn't go down into that glass of water. They didn't go down into that glass of water that was set there for sprinkling a few drops on his head. They went down into the water to show that there was a burial taking place. He was going to be plunged, covered over with water, which is what the meaning of the word baptized is. You see. Why was this process going on? Why was those being saved, being baptized, becoming members of the Lord's church? Why? Because it's important. Because it's necessary. Jesus said it. And they that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Belief saves your soul, gives you eternal life in Jesus Christ. But baptism and church membership saves your life. The poking and the prodding of faithful members of the Lord's body and the teaching from the Lord's body, from the Lord's church, teaching the doctrine of Christ, all the doctrine of Christ, will sanctify your life. Make it righteous and holy unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I need that, and you need that. And praise God, I'm a member of this body of Christ at Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida, of which Jesus Christ is the head. And once a member of the body of Christ, the membership has been given those gifts to bring us on to perfection. To bring us on to perfection. Some people don't like that word, but that's the process. It's one of moving towards perfection. I've heard people, nobody here, but I've heard people say, well, I'm not perfect. It's all, well, I'm not perfect and I'm not trying to be. Well, that ought not to be the attitude of a child of God. The attitude of a child of God is, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm striving for it. I'm moving on for it. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 6. In verse 1, because we ought not to remain babes in Christ any longer, and need of milk, he says in verse 1 of chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, leaving the first things of the doctrines of Christ, which is repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ saves it by His death, burial, and resurrection at the cross of Calvary. Oh, what a wonder that is. We glory in that. We glory in the fact of salvation. And baptism being a picture of our identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And so therefore, church membership. Those are the first principles, the first things of the doctrine of Christ. Therefore, He says, leaving them, not forgetting about them, but moving on. We're to be moving on, not staying where we're at. We're to be maturing. We're to become adult men, if you please. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You see, we love the message of the gospel. And yes, it should be preached from time to time to the congregation. It's a source of encouragement, source of joy. We joy in it. But there are other things. We need to leave beyond those things. Reaching forth unto perfection. You see, unto adulthood, an adult status, if you please. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Book of Proverbs, chapter 4. And this is a wonderful verse that brings forth this illustration. Verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You got that? I mean, it's a process. We start out with a small light. But it's to be shining brighter and brighter as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going on to perfection. And that light shines brighter and brighter each step that we take in that direction. And so, some may argue and say, and as I said, some may say, well, I'm not perfect yet. And so, they're not even trying. Well, and then there'll be the skeptics that say, well, we can't be perfect, you know. I've heard that too. Well, I heard that a lot. We can't be perfect, you know. Well, what did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now I haven't met anyone who would deny that He was perfect. And we're commanded to be perfect as He is perfect. Is He your Father? Is God your Father? Amen. Then we're to be perfect as He is perfect. So, what are we told in the book of Romans? In the book of Romans in chapter 8. Romans 8. In verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, as God, for whom He did foreknow, did He know you before the foundation of the world? That's what that word foreknow means. Did He know you in love before the foundation of the world? Well, if He did, He also did predestinate. And what did He predestinate? He determined before the foundation of the world. At the same time that he knew you before the foundation of the world. In fact, we know from Scripture that his love is everlasting. There's never been a time that he did not love us. Amen. And so he predetermined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those whom he knew before the foundation of the world, he predetermined them to be conformed to the image of his Son, which is a perfect man. A perfect man. What does our text say? Till we all come unto a perfect man. And we're to come on, be coming unto a perfect man. Now, Christ is that perfect man that we are to be becoming unto. Christ is in every sense that perfect man. There's no sense in which he was not perfect. No sense in which he's not that perfect man. He is the greater and more perfect tabernacle. He's that tabernacle which we referenced from the book of Isaiah in chapter 4 and verse 6 this morning. That is a great shadow in the heat and a refuge in the storm. And I'm in him. And I'm to be coming like him. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews again in chapter 9. The book of Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands as the tabernacle in the wilderness was made with hands. Christ is that greater tabernacle. He's become a high priest of a greater tabernacle. Himself. Not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. It's not a man's building, but it's of God's building. It's of God's doings. He is that perfect man. He is that greater tabernacle. God, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 21, tells us that God made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He was more than, he did more than just not sin. He didn't know sin. I mean, it didn't even enter his mind. Boy, I might keep from the practice of sin as far as what others may observe, but these thoughts, these thoughts at times are very impure. In fact, I just hang my head in shame. Where did that come from? Why did I think that? Amen. You know? Because I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. Praise God. He saved me. And because he is that perfect man, Christ Jesus is that perfect man, and he was made sin for us. Made sin for who? Those whom he foreknew before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He left us an example that we should walk in his steps just as he walked. You know, I remember freshly fallen snow, and I'd walk into the snow, the original footstep. And then sometimes I'd try to go backwards in those same steps. And it didn't matter how perfectly I placed my foot in that step, I'd alter that original step. You see where I'm going? We're to walk perfectly in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do you do that? How do we do that? Well, let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter in chapter 2. For even hereunto, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Christ suffered for us. That's our example. Left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Paul counted a blessing. Paul counted a privilege. Paul desired to follow in the steps of Jesus, follow in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Am I there? Are you there? You see, I love serving the Lord as long as it's easy to do. As long as I'm not called upon to suffer. How about you? How about you? You see, that's what makes us timid. Ever have trouble going up to somebody and you know you should go up to them and talk to them about Jesus? Tell them what Jesus has done for you? You ever have trouble do that? Verse 22, he said, who did no sin? That's the example we're to follow. In his steps, no sin. Oh, well, is it possible for me not to sin? I'm a sinner. I'm in this flesh yet. But that's to be the desire of our heart. I'm to desire to be a perfect man just as Christ was. No sin. Well, in case you might think that you've arrived there, I'm a pretty good fella. I don't do this and I don't do that. And I guide my family strictly. Neither was guile found in him. In his mouth. Deceit. That's what that word guile means. Neither was deceit. Uh-oh. That just weeded us out, didn't it? Every one of us. We're deceitful. Must be the winds bothering our connection today. Who, when he was reviled not again. Boy, I want to retaliate when somebody reviles me. I don't know about you. When he offered When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. We're to do that. We're to do as Jesus did. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2, and verse 6. He that saith, he abideth in him,
Do you say you're abiding in Christ? I love to say I'm abiding in Christ, and He's in, and I'm in, and He's in me. Well, ought Himself also so to walk, even as He walked. You abiding in Christ? Think about that. You say that you're abiding in Him, you ought to walk as He did then. Chapter 3, 1 John, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How so? Following the steps of Christ. If we love Him, if we're abiding in Him, if we're trying to walk in His steps, we'll give ourselves for those that are Christ, for those whom Christ loves. Boy, there's a lot of self gets in the way, even amongst members of the Lord's churches. Self gets in the way a lot of times. And we're not giving our life for one another as we ought to. God help us. We're to be moving in that direction. Yeah, realizing we're not perfect yet, but we press on. Pressing on, that's what Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3. He's pressing on. He hadn't attained the state of suffering and knowing the resurrection of Christ like he wanted to. But he's pressing on. He hadn't reached that perfect state. And I would say this afternoon that as I look at the life of the Apostle Paul as revealed in Scriptures, he followed Christ. And he's much higher in that, was much higher at this time in that process than I am. Than I am. How about you? You see, we're to becoming more like Him. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 tells us that Christ is able to save unto the uttermost. What's that word uttermost mean? It means to completion, to perfection. He's able to bring us to an adult man, to that status of a perfect man in Christ. Romans 8:29. God foreknew us. Amen. Those whom He foreknew, He did what? He predestinated that they be conformed to the image of His Son. Amen. You see, that's the state we're to be moving towards. We're to be looking forward to that. And so 1 John 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now, I'm a son of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this. When He shall appear. When He shall appear. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We will have arrived at that perfect man.
That is, yes, we'll arrive at Jesus Christ seeing Him face to face, but when we see Him face to face, I'm going to be just like Him. I'm going to be perfect, just like Him.
In that state.
Oh, isn't that what you're longing for this afternoon? That's what I'm longing for, that perfect state. But until then, we're to be accomplishing this in love. We're commanded in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. And how are we to walk in that love? How are we to walk in that agape? As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. There's our, it, therein is love manifested. We manifest the same love that Jesus Christ had when we give ourselves one for another. We're to be accomplishing forgiveness, forgiving one another. Even as Christ forgave us. We look in scriptures in the book of Luke in chapter 5 and see that he said to one who was lame, he said, arise, take thy bed, rise and walk. Thy sins be forgiven thee. He told in the book of Luke chapter 7 and verse 48, he said, to a woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. Neither do I condemn thee. Look with me at the book of Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 13. He tells us, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. How am I to forgive one another? If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. Even as Christ forgave you. Do you realize today that you were a great sinner and I a great sinner, but Christ has forgiven you?
And we're to forgive one another of all their trespasses, even as Christ forgave us. We're to be having a changed mind. Our mind is to be being renewed. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter in chapter 4, in verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, we know it says there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Therefore, Jesus told us in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 29, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Oh, yes. We're till we all come, all the members of the Ephesian church, till all the members of the Grace Baptist Church, the body of Christ at Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida, come unto a perfect man. There is to be progress being made in our lives, as we've seen this afternoon. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, that he came, was willing to come, because he loved me.
and dwelt among sinful men because he loved me. Went to the cross of Calvary and endured the suffering of the cross because he loved me. And as we've seen this afternoon, he is our example. He is our example of love. He's our example of forgiveness. He's our example of mercy. He's our example of how we ought to walk as being in him and he in us. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, so to walk. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.